Hallelujah. We stand at the last day in the year. And first, I want to just honor Pastor Daryl in his absence today. Just keep praying for him. This is a big transition for him and his family. God has called them out of the land that they knew to this house. Let's keep lifting him up in prayer, his wife, his children. I spoke to him on yesterday, and he felt good, but it was a lot of work going on. Amen. Who can imagine? And also to Pastor Gonzalez, who is sick. He was supposed to stand here today, but he is sick, and so the mantle or opportunity fell here. But we want to pray for Pastor Gonzalez as well in his illness. God is simply good. God is simply good. Father, we just love you. Father, I surrender all to you this morning. I surrender all to you this morning, Jesus. I surrender all to you this morning, Jesus. Father, let every word go deep into the hearts of your people. Father, let me be a vessel that you can flow through today. Father, let every word be an encouragement. Let it sow a seed that will cause us to reap a harvest in due season. Father, I thank you for every person that is represented in this house today. Father, I don't know what everybody had to work through to get to this hour. What happened yesterday? What happened this morning? But Father, I thank you that we are sitting here now in your presence. We are sitting here now in your house, in your sanctuary. Father, meet every need, known and unknown. Meet every need, God. Father, we trust you this morning. We trust you this morning. Hallelujah. So here we stand in this moment on the last Sunday of the year, and this is the last official day that we will ever have in 2017. And there is something about leaving something old and embarking on something new that always causes people to stop and think. Even among our normal busyness and among the carrying out of responsibility, this is the time of year that ushers in a sense of reflection. People are questioning. You even may be questioning, assessing your situation in life, assessing your status in life, questioning the issues of life. Do I want to live with the same experiences that I did last year? Do I want to maintain the same relationships that I did last year? Do I want to go ahead and pursue my dreams this year? Can I make that type of move this year? Will I have the courage to do so? Reflection. I logged onto Facebook a couple days ago, and the first thing I saw was the message from Facebook that said, "There are only two more days left. What will 2018 bring?" And I scrolled a little further down to discover that many were asking the same fundamental question: what will 2018 bring? Many are taking stock of their lives in this season, turning over what some like to call a new leaf or making New Year's resolutions and resolves. I'm going to work out more. Eat less. Hallelujah. I'm going to spend less money and save more. I'm going to work on my spiritual positioning with God. I'm going to work on my relationship. I'm going to go to church more. People are making plans regarding how they will embark upon this new year. A sense of newness and a sense of transition is in the atmosphere. It's all around us. But I ask you this morning, what will 2018 bring? What will this new year mean to you? What will this new year mean for you? And I don't mean for your husband. I don't mean for your wife. I don't mean for your children. And children, I don't mean for your parents. What will 2018 bring to you? And I'm one of those people, I self-reflect probably too much to a fault. And I was sitting in my home contemplating some of these very questions, and I realized something really profound in that moment, that I didn't have the answers. Okay? No matter how much I contemplated, Lord, what is 2018 going to look like for me? I realized that I didn't have the answers. And I would love to stand here on the last Sunday of the year in this place and speak powerfully about what 2018 will bring. I would love to stand here with a prophetic declaration and say, in 2018, you can name it and claim it. Okay? But the truth is, I have no idea. Can we tell the truth this morning? I don't know exactly what this new year will mean for you and for me, for your family or for mine. I don't know what experiences 2008 will usher into our lives. I do not know what the future holds, but there is one thing I do know. I do know who holds our future. One thing I can unequivocally declare in this place is that I and you, we are all in the hands of the one who has a plan. And it reminded me as I started to reflect, and I really honestly just came to encourage you, so I won't be up here long. Jeremiah 29 and 11 dropped into my spirit, and it's a very familiar verse of scripture. And a lot of times, the more familiar we become with things, we skip over the meaning. We don't let it rest on our hearts the way that it can. But can we revisit that this morning? Jeremiah 29, and I want to read it to you in three different translations because that's my way. NIV says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, the King James Version says it just a little differently. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think about you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." One last one. The New Living Translation says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future." Now, point number one, if you like to take notes, the first thing that I want you to take away from this moment of encouragement is that God has a plan for you. God has a plan just for you. Now, before we can rightfully enter into 2018, can we take a moment to bring some closure to 2017? Because I need to. Can we, as we move through this message, resolve some things? I want you to know, as you leave this year and transition into the next, that there is not one thing that occurred in your life in 2017 that God was not aware of. And even more and greater than his awareness is that there is not one thing in your life that he wasn't concerned about. There was not one failure. There was not one victory. There was not one heartache. There was not one celebration. There was not one tear of sorrow or joy that God did not fully participate in. Okay? Did you know that God was thinking about you? Sometimes we need to be reminded. Did you know that God was thinking about you? Did you know that you were on his mind? And I mean, you were on his mind. Because it's easy to get lost in being the body of Christ. It's easy to get lost in a room full of people. It's easy to forget that he sees you. And it reminded me that we have a God that sees us personally, intimately, and individually. And it brings to mind when God called the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1 and verse 5. He said, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you." And it's more than just I knew you, but I selected you, I approved of you. Before you were ever in your mother's womb. It reminds me of Luke 12 and 7, when Christ told the disciples that the very hairs of your head have been numbered. And I want you to think about that. It's not that he knows the number of hairs on your head. It says that each hair has been numbered. So when you brushed your hair this morning, he knew which hairs had fallen out of your head. Number 2,743, that was number 4,724. God is a very personal God. And a lot of times, because of what we go through, we forget about that. Now, the very nature of the fact that God has a plan involves forethought and consideration and contemplation. And what does that mean to me or for me? It means that regardless of the circumstances through which you entered into this world, you were purposed by God. You were planned. You were not a mistake. And I like to rest there. I was the child of a 16-year-old mother. There were many who thought I was a mistake. But God had a plan for my life. No matter how you got here, God still knew you. He said, "I formed you," and that was no mistake. You were on the heart and mind of the sovereign God of all creation. And the enemy would have you to walk into 2018 believing the story that you are insignificant or you are irrelevant in this life, in your home, on your job, in your church, in this world. But let me encourage you this morning. Allow me to interrupt his narrative. You mean something to God. You are somebody in Christ. And in 2018, don't allow feelings of insignificance and insufficiency to block you. You know, for many years, I thought I didn't have anything to give God. Many years. I was just going through the motions, thinking, "God, what do I have to give?" Feelings of insufficiency. Feelings of insecurity, they will block you from the plan of God in your life. So don't allow them to keep you from, one, finding out what the plan of God for your life is, because God is faithful. And then more, pursuing those plans with passion, boldness, and assurance. Number two, be assured that God's plans are good, and that they will lead you to hope. The NIV version says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." One thing I find very significant about this passage of scripture is that after God says, "I have a plan for you, I want to prosper you, I don't want to harm you, I got your future," he then follows that up and says, "But you're going to need some hope." You're going to need some hope. Have you ever looked at a situation in your life and just could not fathom how God was going to work that out? Did you have a situation in 2017 that you were uncertain of what the outcome could possibly be and find yourself struggling to stand in faith and holding on to hope? I think we all have if we went to this church. But look what God will do. Do you imagine that the reason why God followed up all of those promises and said, but I'm going to give you some hope, is that because in his omniscience, he must have been letting us know that even after we have come into the understanding of his immense love for us, after we've come into relationship, after we've understood those promises, that we were going to hit circumstances that would challenge our faith and challenge our hope. We have seasons through which we need his hope. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says that the plans that I have for you, let them lead you to hope in your hour of need. Inherent in the plan of God is hope for your life. And do you know what hope means? Hope is a feeling of expectation. It is also defined as a feeling of trust. In other words, the good plan of God and for your life will lead you to expectation and trust, not in your ability to perform, but in his ability to perform in and through you. Can we resolve something else this morning as we leave this year behind? Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. No matter what you've been through last year, no matter what it doesn't look like, when you feel like your life is as far away from the plan of God as it could possibly be, don't lose hope. Let me say this. Live with the trust and expectation that no matter where you are in life, that God will manifest his plan in due season. God can use you. Better yet, God wants to use you. He desires to use you. Oftentimes in life, we feel like because we have been running through the flames and now we smell like smoke, that somehow disqualifies us to be used by God. We often feel like because of our past failures and mistakes that we can't be used by God. But let me say this to you. You are still a beautiful, wonderful vessel through which God can move to serve his people. Stop listening to the lies. Not only the lies of other people, but the lies that the enemy will say to you and lies that you may tell yourself. You are not too old. You are not too young. You haven't gone too far. You haven't done too much. You are still his beloved, called according to his divine purpose, and he has a good plan for your life. Philippians 1 and 6 says it best. Be confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work in you, he's going to carry it on to completion to the day of Christ. Live with that trust and expectation. Live and move forward with that hope that God is not finished with your life yet. Amen. Lastly, the catalyst for his plan to manifest in your life is change and transition. The catalyst for his plan to manifest in your life is change and transition. And in contemplating the thought about change and transition, the one thing I've come to realize is that there are many things in life that are uncertain. Money is uncertain. Some days we have it and some days we don't. Health is uncertain. You may wake up and feel like you can run through a troop and leap over a wall. And other days, you may not feel like you can get out of the bed. Relationships are uncertain. You may be in a relationship with someone last year that you're not in a relationship next year with that same person. Things will change. Although there are many things in life that have no guarantees, the one thing that we can count on, no matter our economic status, our race, our age, or our gender, is that life is full of change and transition. And if your life experience has been anything like mine, then that means you are no stranger to change and shift and transition. We experience changes in life, we experience changes in love, and we experience changes in relationships and economics. Life is full of change. And yes, right now, most people are making plans for the new year on one level or another. But what happens when unexpected change comes? You know, I think it feels much better when you can participate in change that you had some kind of hand in implementing, correct? But what about the plans that come that you have no control over? What about plans that usher you into a journey for which there is no roadmap? Unexpected change. This is key critical as we move forward because everyone in this room has lived through change even in this year. You wake up and go to work and they have a pink slip waiting on you. You didn't expect to lose your job last year. Okay? You get a phone call that tells you that a loved one has passed from death to life. You didn't expect that transition to happen. In fact, this entire church this year has walked through unexpected change. We all have become all too acquainted with the changes that life can bring, changes that seemingly present an interruption to the plan that we feel like God is implementing in our lives. They present a disturbance and they present a disruption to our lives. But I want to share something with you this morning. I want to challenge you to alter your perspective in the new year on change and transition. Why? Because change is one of the elements that God will use to usher you into your future. Change is one of the elements that God will use to set you up for your expected end. Change and transition is the vehicle that will bring you to your future. And the way you see it, the way you embrace that change will affect that future. Ask the children of Israel who walked through the wilderness. It should have been a short journey. They were struggling to embrace transition. They were struggling to embrace change. And as a result of that inability to move and flow with the ebb of life, what happened is a journey that should have been short became long, and they struggled through that journey. In fact, there were some people who never made it to the promised land because they couldn't get with the changes that God was bringing in their lives. The same situations that we face are the same situations that God will use. So I'm going to ask God and ask you to ask God to heal your perspective of unexpected situations and changes in your life, because that is the vehicle that God will use. I think of situations in the Bible for which God used transition to bring His selected and called individual into their plan. I think about Moses in Exodus 2. Now, with the natural eye, it looks like he had been abandoned by his mother. Although he was trying to save his life, she had to give him away. He lived as an Egyptian, which was not his true identity. He became a murderer. It thrust him into hiding. But he had no idea that every one of those changes would lead him to one day be chosen by God to be the deliverer of his chosen people. He couldn't see that in the change. I think about the story of Abraham, and Joanne, you can come, in Genesis 12. Abraham that used to be Abram, while he was simply living his life, he didn't know that he would become the father of many nations. So he embarked upon a journey, a change, a transition that God entered and ushered into his life. And he hit many road bumps along the way. But God was with him. And he faced challenges. But that was the transition that God used. If you think of the story of David and Samuel, the youngest of sons for Jesse, he was simply tending his father's sheep. And if you read the story, when Samuel went to anoint and find out who God wanted to anoint in the house, he wasn't even considered. Samuel says, "You, this is all? You don't have any more sons? Oh, I got David. He in the field. Bring him. He was sent on a simple errand to take his brother's lunch. And in that moment, God used an unexpected situation to shift his entire destiny. He had no idea that he would end up in the house of Saul, playing as a musician, singing, worshiping, right? What happens? He becomes hunted by Saul. He's on the run, hiding in caves and in the wilderness. He had no idea when he was out in the field tending his father's sheep that God would use those situations, those unexpected changes, to usher him into his destiny. He became King David, through which we received our Christ. Change and transition. And what about Saul, who later became Paul, crucifying the saints? Going strong, going hard, knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus, blinded, hungry, starving for 3 days. He had no idea that he would later become the Apostle Paul, the one for which God handpicked and chose to enter into and usher in the early church. He had no idea that that was his destiny. And even in that place in his life, he ended up in jail. He had been beaten, but God used him. And it's what we have right now is the fruit of his labor. Almost the entire New Testament belongs to the one who had no idea that that was his destiny. It was the changes and the transitions that brought them to that place. May I encourage you this morning? May I encourage you this morning? May I say that we stand on the horizon right now. And a lot of times people wake up and go to bed and wake up and go to bed. I want you to come awake today. Come awake today. Wake up today. Wake up today. And know that God, the King of glory, the master creator of the entire universe, has you in mind. And that he has a plan that is personally carved out just for you. Personally carved out for your life. And it is good. But you know what you need to know when you leave this building? Is that life is going to happen to you. Circumstances are going to happen to you. Unexpected changes are going to happen to you. Things that you didn't plan for are going to happen to you. He's saying, hold on to my plan. You can stand to your feet. Hold on to my plan. You can stand to your feet. Because we're done. I told you, I just came to encourage you. Unexpected changes are going to come. He's saying, I want you to view those changes, view those transitions through the perspective of the plan that I have for you. Because it's those very changes that will bring you to your appointed destiny. Don't despise your changes. Don't despise your life. Don't despise what happens in your life. Don't despise the ebb and flow of life. God says, I've already got you. I've already got you. I want you to ride this thing out. Because know at the end of the day, you have an expected end. Plans that are going to prosper you. Plans that are going to heal you. Plans that are going to have you touch the world around you. No, you may not go across seas, but you have a household to touch. You may not ever see foreign lands, but you've got a community to touch. This church has a community to touch.
Amen.
We lived through a transition this year that we were uncertain of where we would land, but God saw us through to this very moment, and I'm grateful.
Hallelujah.
To this very moment, and He is doing the same for you. Let me encourage you that in this season, as you leave this place, go to God if you have not done so. Say, God, I wanna live for you. I wanna serve you. I hear it talking about the plan. I don't know what that plan is, but I want to be used by you. And I believe that you can use me, and He can use you. And I want you to open up your heart and mind to hear what He will say to you in this season. Can we just close our eyes for just a few moments? God, our God, our Savior, our King, we stand at the moment of transition in this year, but Father, also the moment of transition for our lives. Father, we are laying every weight aside that we have carried this year. Everything, every experience that we don't want to see again in 2018, Father, we are laying it at your feet. And Father, we open up our hearts and our minds to hear your plan. We open up our hearts and our minds to receive your plan. Lead us in the way that you would have us to go only. Help us to be salt and light in this earth, Father. Help us, God, to proclaim your goodness and your glory in the earth, Father. Father, every failure, every mistake that we've made this year, God, you already know about it. So we lay it all at your feet. And we ask that you would break every chain of bondage, break every chain of stagnation, break every chain, Father, that we have somehow gathered through our life experience. Break it off, Father. We desire to be free, to be used by you. We give ourselves to you, God. We give ourselves to you. And we declare that 2018 will be the year of an expected end for our lives. We declare that the year of 2018, that our families would be well, that our children would be well, that our finances will be well, that our relationships would be well, according to your perfect plan.